Hey, tonight we're going to talk about your favorite subject, mine, waiting. Notice I did not introduce this as patience. Patience is a whole different category. We'll go down that road maybe another time. Everybody wishes they had more patience. I don't know what that means, though. Maybe some of us want patience so that we won't get aggravated while we're waiting. I don't know. Or maybe we want patience so that it doesn't grind on us when the thing that we are waiting for doesn't show up when we want it to show up. So I don't want the two confused too much, okay? Because we're going to talk about waiting in conjunction with what the Lord wants to do. Now, we have an idea of the things that we want, you know. There's a bunch of fans in Wisconsin right now that are waiting for the Packers to score another touchdown, but I'm afraid it's a little late. There's a whole lot of people in our country that are waiting for the opportunity to somehow, just somehow figure out how that it really didn't happen, that Trump was elected, and maybe their candidate should be put in that slot. You know, all of these things, it's amazing how that works. But you and I, regardless of those things, whether you look at them humorously or seriously, waiting is something very, very difficult because it does take a grind on us, because all of these natural things are around us that absolutely contribute to the reason that we need to learn how to wait much, much better. And that's not to say that most of us aren't great waiters. But I'll tell you, I found that some people built in their personality that they have this ability to be calm through everything. Well, that helps you as far as the emotional response, maybe even the physical or the verbal response. But what we want is a spiritual response to the times that we find in our life when we need to be waiting. So I want to take you to Psalms, the 40th chapter, verses 1 through 5. By the way, you won't see anything on the screen tonight because I'm still waiting for my computer to take my PowerPoint presentation that had all of this on it and download it so that we could put it in the computer back here and show it on the screen. Maybe that'll be show up enough right for next week. That's just, it was irritating. So I want you to join me in Psalms, the 40th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Sorry, you'll just have to look at your own Bible. I don't have it on the screen for you tonight. Obviously, we know this is David talking, and this is what he says. This is the New King James. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You ever been there? I don't know exactly what his circumstances was, but, you know, just stop and think about it. It's so easy to hear David use these words and just assume with, you know, he's having a bad day. Bless his heart. Lost his car keys, probably. Maybe he had a dead battery. I don't think so. I don't think so. We know enough about his life that he went through some horrible pits and some miry clay. And then with one little jot of the pen, a comma, and then it says, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. What a contrast from horrible pit to now that I'm on the rock. What a contrast between a miry clay and now he's established my steps. I mean, that's a whole different change in the scenery and everything. He goes on to say, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Isn't it cool when God just does something so dynamic in your life that you feel that newness coming in, that sense of awe that God is really doing something? He did show up. He said, many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such a turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. I will declare and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. It's real easy to get stuck in the miry clay and the horrible pit and never be able to get to the point to where you're able to say great words like this about what God did. But it all started with this. I waited patiently for the Lord. This is the record of David through this circumstance. And I like the way it says it. This is in the context of past tense. Now, let's put first things first. Waiting is not stopping. Because that's what it feels like, isn't it? If I have to wait, everything comes to a screeching halt. The things that I want to do, everybody has this unofficial agenda. There's something you want to get to. There's somewhere you got to go. There's a time schedule. There's something that needs to happen. It doesn't matter. If you're waiting for healing, it happens. It should have happened yesterday. We have all these things that we want, so it's not stopping. It's not resting either. It's not just sitting still and just relaxing, putting your feet up until something happens. However, we have to just be reminded, it sounds like a contradiction, but wait in this context is an action word. It is something that we're actually doing. When you and I experience waiting, it's like what we just said. I just stop. I have to rest, put my feet up, you know, or be patient, whatever. It feels like a forced circumstance on us, but it's not. Waiting is active. Now, he says that he waited patiently. He's still doing something active, even though nothing's actively moving. He's waiting on the Lord. How is he waiting on the Lord? Patiently. That's where the attitude comes in. The attitude of waiting patiently. Now, I know that most of us experience that very, very differently, but, you know, that's just exactly what is going on. Waiting is active. It's not inactive. The problem is that our experience, if we could describe it, is nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. God hasn't showed up. God hasn't done something. You know, and when people do that, you know, we kind of equate it with our experiences. There's parts of life, and we jokingly talk about the trains in Claremore, things like that, where we have to wait. We understand that. It's a part of life. We know that it's going to come and go and that type of thing. But we're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on somebody who knows everything. He knows what my next step needs to be. He knows where I need to be next. He knows the urgency in my heart. He knows how bad this needs to happen, or at least in my mind it does. And he needs to show up in a hurry. David waited patiently. And the Bible says that God heard him. I wonder what God would have heard if he was impatient. Okay. So you know what? You ever been in this moment? You're driving down the road. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Do you know any other words? It's just crazy. Are we there yet? And that's the impatience of a small child. They don't know anything else. We can't wait till they grow up and they get a little bit of experience in them. Because at 12 years old, surely it changed, right? Surely, I mean, at 15, 60, 20, 35, 40. Somewhere in there it changes, right? No, it doesn't. The Bible says here that God heard him. Now, why did David say God heard me? Because if he's talking about he took me out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set me upon a rock, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about how that he waited patiently. Now he's reflecting back on what waiting patiently did. Now he's giving the testimony of what happened. This is a past tense thing. I was there, I was this thing, I was waiting patiently, but he took me out of this pit, he took me out of the miry clay, and boom, here I am. It's great to give a testimony of where you've been. The problem is learning how to wait on where you're trying to go. And that's the difficult part, and that's what we have to do. But God brought him out of this horrible situation he was facing. I don't know exactly what the details was, but the Bible is clear, and David's testimony is true. He took me out of this. And look what it says next. And he put me on solid ground, reestablished him, and gave him a new song. Waiting patiently will do that. Being impatient, being irritated, being agitated won't get you there. And it's so easy to say that from the pulpit, isn't it? And it's so easy for you to agree right there, right now. Because the only thing you're having to do wait patiently on is for me to quit talking so you can go home. I mean, you know, we have these things that we know it's going to measure by low. But you know what? Sooner or later, if I keep talking and talking and talking, that waiting patiently thing goes away, doesn't it? It kind of just drifts off into nowhere. I have a pet peeve about funerals, and that's when I go to funerals and I hear a preacher get up there, and it just seems like he had the opportunity to preach. So he gets this opportunity, and the spirit of preach comes on him, and he just goes on and on and on, and you lose sight of the fact that there's this family here, and they need to be connected with the grieving that they have, and they really need some hope and some peace and some reassurance, and they need God to show up and comfort their grieving hearts. And it just seems like the preacher just has the opportunity to preach and goes on and on and on. I'm going, do you have any idea? Now, see, that's my perception of the circumstance. But you know what? It's tough to wait through stuff like that. The key to this is that we wait patiently. This isn't just passive words that David had. It's a directive from God saying, listen, this is what David did. He didn't just hang in there until I turned around things that were going on in his life. He said, no, he waited patiently. Stop and think about it. If you are a clerk, it doesn't matter if it's a grocery store, it doesn't matter if you're at the bank and there's a big long line and people are getting upset and a lot of things are going on and you're there. You're the pressure person. You're supposed to deliver. You're supposed to check them out quickly. You're not supposed to make any mistakes. You're supposed to know everything there is about it. And these people are getting aggravated. What happens to you in your heart when you see them waiting patiently? Is the pressure off? Do you want to respond and give them better service? Do you want to make sure that they leave with a smile and a great big thank you? Thank you for being so patient. Absolutely. Now listen, we don't manipulate God, but God responds to us the way we respond to things. If we respond to our horrible pit and our miry clay impatiently, And sometimes look at God and say, where are you, God, officially or unofficially, verbally or non-verbally? I don't know that we can really anticipate that. I don't know if that's a big challenge to you, but if it is today, we need to learn how to wait patiently, especially in those things that we seems like really, really needed to happen yesterday. Well, Campbell Morgan wrote it this way. He says, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new commandment that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Waiting patiently. Tough, tough, tough. Notice I didn't ask for any raises of hands earlier, those of you who are really good at waiting and patience and stuff like that, because you know the numbers are just too small to really care. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? It doesn't matter. One button may push you more than others, but boy, waiting is tough. The second thing is this. David waited patiently upon the Lord, and I want you to take you to Isaiah the 40th chapter, very familiar verse of Scripture. Isaiah 40, verses 25 through 31, because what God will do if we wait upon Him. Waiting patiently is the attitude we need to bring into this sense of waiting. First of all, we have to understand we're not sitting still, nothing's happening. Something's happening, but it's patiently that we have to sit through this thing. But then it's waiting upon the Lord. We know what it is to wait upon others, don't you? And it's tough. You're just waiting for them to do what you expect them to do. Well, who are we talking about here? The God of the universe. The God that created all of this. The God that knows everything that brought us to this point and everything that He needs to do in us to take us to that point. God has a plan for our life. Regardless of the detours, regardless of the interruptions, regardless of all the ambushes out there, God knows how to take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. And it's very difficult, but we have to wait upon Him. Very familiar verse of Scripture, Isaiah 40, verses 25 through 31. Isaiah says, to whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out of their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But here's the transition. Here's that one little three-letter word that just changes everything. Everything pivots upon this. Earlier, He was saying this. He said, why are you saying, oh, Jacob, speak, oh, Israel? In other words, He's saying, why are you looking up into the heavens, shaking your fists and saying, God, why haven't you done this? God, where are you? Don't you realize what we're going through? You know, it's one thing for a human to do that because we're limited. A lot of times we really don't know what you're going through. Sometimes we have no idea what you're experiencing, but not God. God knows everything. He knows what got us into this situation. He knows what takes us out. So it's easy to do that. And then He says, but those who wait. Now, doesn't it seem like God ought to be just priming the pump, saying, those who trust, those who really step out in faith, those who really read the Word more, those who pray earnestly, you know, those kind of things. Seems like what we ought to be doing. You know why? Because that's what a human would do. That was what he would say. Give it a little more effort. Try a little harder. I remember in high school seeing this film. It was the 1920-something Olympics. And they had this guy that ran the marathon. And he was the first one to come in. And he was so weary after running the marathon that the first line he got to, he thought that was it. And he fell over the line. And all of a sudden they realized, this is not it. This is not the finish line. So I'm down here. So this happened three times. On three different lines. While he was doing that, four other people came in and finished before him. And I heard somebody talking about that, and they said, you know what? Stop and think about this. Here's this guy. He's given it all he's got. I mean, he's weary. He's wore out. He said, what are you going to tell this guy? Go down there and go say, come on, suck it up just a little more. Just, you can do it. Just keep going. You know, this guy was spent. And that's the way we feel. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's the things that I get out of this. First of all, God says, let me remind you who I am. I'm not your neighbor who you can't rely on. I'm not your best friend who's always pretty much on, but every now and then they don't have a perfect day. No, I'm the Lord God Almighty. I am perfect in all of my ways. I will show up. I do the things that I'm supposed to do. I love the comment that the three Hebrew children said, our God can, our God will, but if he doesn't, we're going to keep going. We will not step back from our faith in him. Let me remind you who I am. Of whom shall I be equal, he says. Who are you waiting on in this circumstance? You're not waiting on the doctor. You're not waiting on a good friend. You're not waiting on your ride. You're waiting on the Lord. So let's remind ourselves of who he is. The second thing is he addresses the frustration we all feel. When we have this question whether or not God really knows how we feel. Remember what he says? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? We're talking about the everlasting Lord, the God of this universe. Sometimes it's so easy. And whether it's a human response or not, and whether you capture yourself in the moment and discipline yourself not to think like this, you correct the truth. The problem is a lot of times we feel like, doesn't God see? Usually follow that with something like, doesn't God understand? Well, it may be you just venting, if you will. I don't believe that people say things like that and really, really mean that necessarily to God, but it is what we're experiencing, isn't it? Whether we really, really mean that as a direct comment or not, whether we really feel through evaluation that this is what God has overlooked me, whether it's not, that's what we're experiencing. And you know, if you read David long enough in the Old Testament, man, he would start out one psalm with, God, I can't believe this. Man, my enemies hate me. People tell lies about me. They want to put me to death. And where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And by the end of the psalm, he's just praising God and saying, man, what better thing can we do than just live and love God? Praise him all. And I'm going, wow, what a contrast. You see, it's nothing wrong to be honest with God about how you're feeling in that waiting process. But it is wrong to stop and realize, or I should say, refusing to stop and realize who you're talking about. Because we have been let down by probably every person and every institution that we've ever come against or been a part of, but never God. Never God. The third thing he says, but if we wait upon the Lord, this is what he'll do. He will renew our strength. Sometimes that strength is measured physically. Sometimes it is measured emotionally. Sometimes it is measured spiritually. And it is tough. When you have to make a decision, and at the end of the day, when you make that decision, you have to sit and wait upon the Lord. And I almost feel bad that I said sit, because that sounds negative, doesn't it? You have to hold back. You know what? Your heart's going somewhere. Your desire's going somewhere. Your dreams haven't stopped. The best outcome that you want, you know, which makes sense to you and probably makes sense to God, is right there. But you still have to wait upon him. He causes us to rise above our obstacles when he says, mount up with wings like eagles. You know, this waiting process seems like we're just all on hold until something moves. No, God is literally in the process of strengthening us to overcome these obstacles. He takes care of us when things really get rough. He says, run and not be weary. It's going to be tough times until we get to heaven. We all know this. This is no secret to any of us. And then he says he will be with us in everyday life. They shall walk and not faint. The key to all of this is while we're waiting is to make sure that we're waiting upon the Lord. Because you know, the things that we can't change, the people we can't make them speed up any faster. We can't make things move any quicker by our own strength. But we're waiting upon the Lord. And I guarantee you, in this room are so many stories, so many testimonies about the time when you know that you wished God had done this or God that. But then when you look back on it, man, his perfect timing showed up again. If you had done something earlier, if you'd had been able to pull the trigger, push the button like you wanted to, it would have been out of sync. Probably would have messed everything up. It's hard. Hard to do that because in that moment you wanted to take control, or at least you wanted to express how you feel. And God just says, listen, remind yourself, wait upon me, because this is what's going to happen when you do that. Now let me take you to the New Testament. How should we wait? Well, that's the difficult thing, isn't it? How is this process best accomplished? Acts, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. You remember this scene. Jesus is with his disciples. He knows that he is soon to be taken up into the heavens. He's going to be leaving them. He's already promised them he's going to send back the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, it's pretty tough in my, you know, I'm just trying to make this common sense for a second. They didn't know what the promise of the Father was, like you and I know what the promise of the Father is. I can preach about that. I can preach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can take you to Acts, the second chapter. I can tell you all about that because we have it recorded in history. These people had never seen this. They had never experienced that. You know, following Jesus was a brand new venture in and of itself. They're waiting for this thing that they don't even know what it looks like. They're not even sure what it's going to be. Has anybody ever sent you for something and said you'll know it when you see it? What kind of direction is that? What does that mean? I'll know it when I see it. By the way, has anybody been so cruel to send somebody on your little work crew for the steel stretcher or the beam stretcher or some fictitious wrench or whatever? I worked with people. They would send me on stuff, and I'd go to these other people. Hey, where's this, that, and the other? They go, oh. It's like snipe hunting, okay? You know, everybody knows what it is, snipe hunting? Yeah, you're just fooling these people. That's the way it feels sometimes. God, really? You're sending me in this thing? Are you serious? You know, that's the human response. That's how we respond to it. But he says, wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Just remember, he commanded them to do two things. Don't leave this place and wait. Don't leave this place and wait. I got to tell you, if anybody has ever said, I'll be right back, stay right here, the longer they're gone, the harder it is to wait. I mean, what, did they die back there? I mean, you know, what's going on? It is hard. And you know what's really, really hard? Is when things like the power goes off. Because you know somebody's down there trying to put a plug in something. You know, surely there's somebody on a truck climbing the tree right now. They're doing something, right? But you're waiting. You're waiting. There's just nothing. Jesus commanded them. This wasn't a suggestion. He said, you know, if you're lucky or anything. He commanded them, stay right here and wait. So we usually experience waiting in three ways. Let me share those with you real quick in conclusion. Number one, we wait in anticipation. Now, this sounds positive. It really does. Anticipation. I like that, you know. Remember that ketchup commercial? Has anybody ever seen that? Please rescue me here, okay? And you know, you're just waiting for the ketchup to finally come out of. Why don't they just put that in tubs? For crying out loud. It never comes out of the bottle like that. I was so glad the day they showed up with the squirt stuff. All you got to do is turn up sound, bang it on the counter, and you're good to go. Waiting. Waiting to anticipate. It sounds positive. But here's the problem with that. And it's not necessarily a bad problem, but it's a little problem. Because when I wait in anticipation, I've probably already decided what's going to happen. The only thing I'm waiting for is when. I've already pictured in my mind exactly what it's going to look like. I don't have to be introduced to it because I've already figured it out in my head. This is what's going to happen. Now, I can do that with you, and I can do that with a lot of the natural things we have in life. Like I said, the train's down here. You know, I anticipate the train to finish because I'm going to finally see a car that has nothing else behind it. I've seen it a million times, and when it comes by, my waiting is over because I've already have a fixed picture in my mind. My satisfaction for anticipation has been satisfied because the train is gone, the gates lift, and that old lady in front of me finally steps on the accelerator. Boom, and we go. I'm sorry, most of the time it's an old lady. Father, forgive me. We already know how the outcome is going to be. We're just waiting for it to happen. You see, the problem with that is we've already decided for God how this is supposed to happen. I got to tell you, I've been fired twice. Both of them was from a church. Of course, the pastor didn't know what he was doing. Yeah. But I got to tell you, you know, I've heard it and I think it's true. You know, a lot of things wound women. But when a man loses his job, his ability to feel productive is questioned. His future is questioned. How are we going to provide? I'm supposed to be the source of strength for my family. On and on. It's these things that just pile up there. And they're natural just questions. And when that happens, it's very, very difficult. And to have to wait through all of that is tough. And I'm telling you, I had this figured out every time way before God did. And I had a good friend of mine, Tom Green. He used to be the DYD in Oklahoma when I was turned loose from one of our churches. he came to me and he said, how you doing? And we talked for a second. He goes, well, you know, he said, this just became God's will for your life. And I wanted to go, how can you call this God's will for my life? You know, in that moment when you're all the uncertainty, you don't know whatever, and you have no choice but to wait. You could choose how you wait, but there's no choice. You're going to wait. But then it began to just make perfect sense. You know, God has a will for my life. I didn't see this turn coming, but now that it's here, you know, God's will to be done. But what I've got to do is make sure that I let God expose his will to me instead of my will and tell God to check off on it. Go and find a job. Find this, that, and the other. Do this, that, and the other to make things happen. Manipulate things. Make calls that are just kind of pressure moments like that. It's difficult. You see, the problem is we're limited. We have a finite way of thinking, but God is infinite. God is infinite. So to wait with anticipation sounds positive, but it's really not, because we filled in the blanks instead of letting God tell us how things are going to pan out. And many of you understand that there are times that you would have made a certain decision. Maybe there was somebody you were going to marry. You had that all planned out, and it didn't work out, and you wonder why God, and now the person that you are married to, you're going, wow, if I had jumped the gun, if I had just said, you know, somehow God's going to make this right, or God's going to bless this or whatever, you would have so gotten in front of God, and you would have not had God's perfect will. That would have been a tough thing. The second thing is a lot of times we wait in aggravation. And it's when we get antsy, and this is definitely negative. We're only waiting because we have to. There's these obstacles in front of us. You know, there's these things that we can't move, and so we're just waiting for something to happen. It's when things and people get in the way of what we want. And the truth of the matter is, a part of our flesh and our selfishness comes out, and even though we want to ask God to come in here, and we want to ask God what he wants to do, and we want to ask God, please, to do this thing, we're really not talking about God at all. We're really just voicing our attitude. And it's not a good attitude. I don't know if it's whining or whatever, but it's usually an attitude about waiting. You see, I'm in a hurry, but God's not. That is so hard to let it get into your spirit. You can put it on a bumper sticker and agree with everybody else about that, but when it's my turn, when I need things to happen now, I feel threatened. I feel like I got to go forward. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. We have to remember, I'm in a hurry, but God's not. We need to just stop and wait patiently on him. The third thing is this, is to wait in expectation. Now, this is the correct way we should do. So we should wait expectantly. Now, let me just take you through that and just that picture. You see, it is an unknown outcome that are based on two things. I'm expectantly waiting on God to do two things, for God to be God and God to respond to his promises. Because those are the two things that are guiding me at this point. My attitude has to take a side seat. My feeling and my anticipation and the urgency has to take a back seat, because I am going to wait expectantly on God and him to fulfill his promises. I've heard so many stories. You have too. About somebody that needed this and needed that. And it came down to the last moment, the last hour, the last circumstances. There was nowhere else to go, and God showed up and did something in such a fashion that there's nothing that could compare to it. They could have manipulated this. They could have gone and got a loan. They could have asked all their friends to show up. They could have had a raise the barn moment and done all these things. But the way God did it in his timing, it is because they just had this expectancy of God, and God showed up in a dynamic way. How powerful is it? And sometimes we forget that. It's when we begin to ask, I wonder how God is going to do it this time. Isn't that a cool statement to say? I wonder how God's going to do it this time. That's me putting the expectation on what God would do and just literally abandoning the way that I think God should do it. Now, you can't turn off your senses. You can't turn off how this logically makes sense that we would do this, that, and the other. But then God shows up. Have you ever had God tell you that he wanted you to go and rectify a relationship that has gone very, very tense? Maybe you had to go and apologize to somebody or whatever. Maybe you wronged them a long time ago, hurt them deeply. Boy, that's tough stuff to do, isn't it? That's big boy Christianity right there. And as you go, your mind just rehearses the moment. They're going to reject this. They're going to hate me. They're going to say, why did you do this? I can't believe you did this, the other. Why did you hurt me? On and on and on. We rehearse that because that's what we do. And then you show up, and God's grace and God's mercy just shows up. And next thing you know, great and beautiful things happen. And a relationship that was so frayed now comes back together. That's because God got involved and God showed up and said, listen, what I can do. If you'll just follow me, if you'll just do what I ask you to do, I'll show up and this thing will have a tremendous outcome. It's amazing how God continues to do this. But the problem is, we often just put him in a box. We feel like logically this is what God's going to do. I mean, this just makes perfect sense. The numbers are just right. We need to do this. And I've told you several times, you know, in many, many ways, you know, it just makes perfect sense what we would do, but then somehow there's just that part of your spirit that just doesn't agree with it. That God is saying, no, this makes perfect sense. I know that logically do this, but that's not what I want you to do. And then we do something that doesn't seem like the right thing. I mean, man, we missed it. This is what God wants us to do. But then when we see what God does on the backside of it, because we waited expectantly, he shows up in a grand fashion and just ministers to us big time. I wrote these things down. Waiting expectantly does this. It's the answer to a wimpy little 3 to 5 minute prayer in the altar. It's when we just came to kind of say, God, please do this and other, but we just kind of mention it because we're supposed to and we aren't really, really praying about it. You know, God usually doesn't show up a whole lot for all of that. It's the answer to a marriage that seems to stall out when you feel like you're all alone, but God has something. If we would just wait expectantly on him, he has this fabulous thing that he will do. And God promises he's never going to abandon us, but we know how we want to handle it. It's the answer to a boring Christian experience. There's a lot of times we want to just try to do something. In this church, I promise you, we pray so desperately about what we do, about all the songs we sing, the way we move forward, everything else, because we don't want to have God have to live with our idea. We want to experience God's idea for this church, how the atmosphere is, how the Spirit will move, what we teach, all of those things. It's something we do the best we can, and that's what God wants us to do. It's the answer to your attitude about the Word of God. You see, now we go into the Word of God expectantly. You know, we read all of these stories, and it's great that God did this for him, and God did that for him, and God did that for her. But what about me? You know what? Your turn's coming if you wait expectantly. God says, I have not abandoned you. I've got a future for you. I've got a great job. I'm going to help you with these incredible decisions, this fellowship you're looking for, this communion with others. I'm going to do all of these things, but I'm waiting for you to be expectantly waiting on me. Just like I said, waiting is not inactive. Neither is our God. Neither is our God. When we can't see, trust me, he's always moving. Inside your body, constantly, even when you are at rest, when you are in a near coma, because you sleep that deeply, there's all kinds of things going on in this body. If it quit moving, if that heart quit beating, that blood can't quit circulating. If you quit breathing, you come to become non-existent. We can't see what God always does. But God is waiting for us to just be patiently, expectantly waiting on him. I don't know if you needed that tonight. I don't know if that's a part of your life. I don't know if there's a big decision. But I think that what we need to do is understand that whether there's something right now that's in your life that you needed that for or not, it will show up very, very soon. And the truth of the matter is you have to practice it in the small things before you can apply it to the big things. You see, what God says is he wants you just all these little things that have probably become irritants in your life because you just are impatient with them. And God says, just wait on me and see what I can do. Amen? Just bow your heads with me real quick. Without coming to the front, I would just like to ask that open question. If you're in this place tonight and that waiting has become a challenge in two ways. Number one, just the art of waiting. I don't know if we'll ever perfect it. But the other part of that is waiting upon who, not a what, but a who. And that who is our God. Because we can wait on other people to come around. We can wait thinking this world will wake up one day. We can wait thinking tomorrow will be a better day. But we need to wait upon the Lord. If you have a challenge in that area, will you just stick your hand up and put it right back down real quick? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Man, 7 or 8, 10 of us, whatever. You see, this is not a condemning, horrible sin. This is just a part of our life that God will give us liberty if we'll listen to His Word. It's too easy to pay attention to the circumstances. You see, while I'm waiting for that train, my mind's racing across those tracks to the appointment that I'm trying to make it to and the time that I need to get there in the timely fashion. And if this slows me down, then it messes me up, then it interrupts my schedule, and on and on and on. And it all is this big circle around me. When what God's saying, when I deal with you in spiritual terms, you let it be about me. Father, I just pray with everyone in this congregation tonight that you would help us, Lord God, not to get a better attitude. No, we want your attitude. We don't want to have a resolve in our life where we're going to get better at waiting. No, this isn't about practicing and perfecting the art of waiting. This is about practicing and perfecting the art of waiting upon you. And Father, help us mostly to get our mind off of the things that we have already come to a conclusion of. That God, it makes perfect sense that this would happen or that would happen or you would do it this way or that way. Instead, Father, put our eyes solely and completely on you. Because Father, you know what that's called? It's called faith. And you have demonstrated that, and you've commanded us, just as you did those disciples, don't leave here and wait. Lord, give us your spirit, your help, your encouragement, your anointing, if you will, on the positive, on the promise that you give us because we simply wait. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, thank you for being here tonight. Guess what? You don't have to wait any longer for the sermon to be completed. I promise you, God has answered your prayer. It's done. Good night, everybody.